It was just something I wanted to share. I don't know if this is the time, but whatever. As most of you know, that I come from a big family of 18 children. And, if you have two or three brothers or sisters, you know how hard it is to get along sometime. But we always learned to get along. And we had such a big family that, you know, we played together, we worked together, we did everything together. We worked out our differences. We were very close-knit. And when I met the Lord, I don't know if they do that in this day and age, but then they said, if you don't give up Jesus, you've given up your family. And it was a very hard decision, but of course we follow Jesus. And I just want to read this scripture that Jesus said, whoever has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or fields for my sake will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life. And I want to thank each one of you for being that family. I never felt love like I have here. All of you have stood with us through all our mistakes, through our victories. And I have a few people from my family who don't go to church today because they were hurt in church. But I always tell them, this church is different. And you are the ones that make it different. And I believe God has used you and will continue to use you as his hands and feet because you choose to love unconditionally. And whether we move on or come back in a year, I want you to know you will always be part of my heart. So may the Lord bless you, build you up, and strengthen you always.
Just want to share a scripture. I could preach, I don't know. It would be my last time for a while. Okay. I was asking God this morning about transition, and I said, I don't know what to do about transition. You know, I'd like it to be like Elijah, you know? I'm waiting for the chariot, and if you catch my coat, you got a double portion. That sounds good. But really, just this morning, God showed me something in his word. That Israel had a transition that took 40 years. Okay? And it was not because they couldn't make it in maybe a year or so, but it was more because of their mindset. So transition is not just praying for somebody, leaving a job, going to another job, taking care of your parents until they die, or going to school and getting married, whatever. Transition lasts a long time. It takes a long time to do it. And the scripture that God showed me is, he said, do not be afraid of those nations, for the Lord your God is among you. And he is great and awesome. And verse 22 says, the Lord your God will drive those nations out ahead a little by little. And that's the word that I was stuck with, little by little. You know, you get married one day and it's an hour ceremony or whatever and it's done. But little by little, you have to enter into that marriage. Little by little, you have to function and learn how to behave and how to move in that marriage. And so many things, we all in transition in some way or another in our life. And God wants us to transition well, but it will take a little bit of time sometime. It's a little bit at a time, a little bit at a time. And the transition is done fast, but the work after is... And you know, if we do like the children of Israel wanted to go back because the onion tasted good, the cabbage tasted good, and they were tired of the bread that came from heaven after a while, transition is not so good. So I pray that as we transition, my wife and I, and as you guys transition, because sometimes it's about transitioning from one church to another church. It's not the same. Everything is different. And it takes a while. Little by little, if you don't give up, you will succeed. Amen. Amen. Thank you. All right. Well, Pastor John is going to come and bring the word this morning. Amen. We good? I'm going to put you right on the spot here. We're going to move right ahead. How many are excited to have John here today? Amen. To be part of our service. John and Jan. Here you are.
Thank you, my brother. I'm going to just let my wife greet the church.
Well, good morning. It's such an honor and a privilege to be here with you. And the beautiful children. You have so many children. And John, I've thought about how many transitions we've been in terms of church transitions. We transitioned, and I remember the church where we are pastoring now, 16 years, we're in our 17th year. I remember the day the baton was passed to us. What a transition service that was. And it was a wonderful message, and I know that you're going to speak amazingly today to help the church transition to the next, to the change, the next leader, the next, and how important it was for the people to give their support behind the new leader. What a blessing. And so we greet you from Crossroads Life Church. Our daughter Tiffany is preaching today in both services, and we're excited, and I'm really always excited to hear your message.
Thank you. My wife always tells people that, you know, if I'm the only one who comes, you only get half the anointing. So we have the full anointing here today. It is really an honor. It is truly a privilege to be with you today on this special occasion, and it's a significant occasion. These are not things that happen all the time. I so appreciate the honor and that has been bestowed upon your senior pastors, and they have labored, and they're always going to be the father and mother of this house. How many know that? That's never going to change. That in some things, you know, transition, but some things never change. And one thing that never changes is who mom and dad are. And this church came out of their loins spiritually. The Lord sent them here, used them, and they're the ones who came. And, you know, when you think of pioneers, you know, what they had to deal with, they had to come and clear the land. And they had to come and chop down all the big trees, and they had to cultivate the land when there was nothing here. But they came, and they plowed, and they gave their lives, and they gave their energies, and they gave their gifts and poured into this place so that what is here today is really because they gave their lives. And so I just honor them today. And I know that, as I said, they're mom and dad, they're father and mother, and that is never going to change. And you always want to honor them in your hearts that way. Amen? Well, I want to talk to you today about grace for transitions. I thought Pastor Jacques was going to steal my thunder. And he was just moving right in the very vein that I felt the Lord drop in my heart. You know, the dictionary tells us that a transition is a process or a period of change where you move from one state to or condition to another. For example, you know, students transitioning from one program to another, or a country that transitions from one form of government to maybe multi-party democracy. A passage in a piece of writing that smoothly connects two topics is a transition. In music, for example, you have a period of pause in a music where maybe you move from one key to another and make a modulation. And even in physics, there are transitions that take place, the change of an atom, a nucleus, electron, and so on. So we understand. But life, and Pastor Jacques referred to this, life is full of transitions. You know, the truth of the matter is we are always in transition. And we transition from infanthood to toddlers. We transition from a toddler to just a young school age or kindergarten, from school age to secondary, from adolescent to young adult, from young adult to adult. You even transition from being a single adult with money to married, no money. How many know what I'm talking about? You know, that's a tough transition. And then you transition from married
just, you know, with no kids to married with children. That's a big transition. Our daughter has just done that in the last year and given us our first grandchild, which we're very excited about, and I'm absolutely smitten by my granddaughter, Francesca. But it's a transition. We've watched that transition in their lives. And then family with kids to empty nesters. Anybody experienced that? You know, that's a big transition. You know, you're used to having all this noise and kids and mess. And then all of a sudden, it's tidy, but it's awfully quiet. And you have to transition and get used to that. Empty nesters to grandparenting. And as I said, my wife and I are in that transition now. Grandparenting to elderly, you know. I just turned 60 in the last month. And I know I don't look a day under 70, but I hit 60, you know, it was a transition. It was another moment in my life where I realized the clock is ticking, and I'm moving forward, and I'm moving on, and I have to think about things. I've got less margin for error as I move forward. And you also transition from elderly to heaven one day. How many know what I'm talking about? And so one of the immediate and positive things about transitions is that it denotes movement. It denotes progression of development. And so transitions are always kind of moving you forward. They're always moving you from a place where you were to a place where you're going. And so that's why they are something to celebrate. Transitions are not bad. They're good things. Today, as a church, ATC is experiencing a transition in the area of leadership. And leadership is extremely important. Sometimes leadership gets a bad rap, but I want to tell you something that, like the noted author John Maxwell says, everything rises or falls on leadership. That without leadership, you're really going nowhere. It's really because you had excellent leadership that you got to this point. That the fact that ATC got off the ground and lasted longer than a year is a testament to their leadership. But the fact that it's what it is today, it's their legacy. That there's a legacy in this house that the leadership brought, and they came, they laid down their lives, as we mentioned, and out of their loins came something that has life, that has excellence, that's growing, and that is going to continue to grow. But there's a transition that's taking place, and this is an important transition because it's a leadership transition. And Pastor Jacques and Pastor Sharon have been your primary leaders for 14 years, and they've done an excellent job. And Jen and I, you know, I just want to say that Jen and I are proud to call them our friends. And we know that, and I want to say this very clearly and emphatically, I believe, not only just in my own heart, but by the Spirit, that although their role is changing, there are many years of fruit bearing ahead of them. That this is not the end. It's a transition. It's the beginning of something new. And I was sharing with Pastor Sharon today, you know, there's a lot of mileage left on her odometer. And God's not finished with you yet. In fact, you know, I really felt the Holy Spirit. I'm just going to take my liberty. I wasn't planning on doing this, but I really feel to say to you, fear not, because the Lord isn't done with you yet. And I see new things and new vistas ahead of you. And I see the father and mother role coming out of you more and more and more. And I see you being encouraged and being an encouragement to either younger leaders. And I know my wife said this, but I was feeling it too. I see you also involved with Francophone leaders and churches on that side of the border, not just exclusively, but I feel that God's going to open doors for you over there, and you're going to see things begin to happen there as well. So it's like there's a whole new flow of things ahead of you where you're going to have influence. The truth of the matter is, I heard the Spirit of the Lord say that you are people of faith, and it's your faith that caused you to come to this place and come to this region and come and begin to plow and begin to plant and begin to build. And the Lord says, son and daughter, your faith is going to be intact when you come out of this transition. And there's going to be a spirit of faith. And like a Caleb, you're going to rise up and you're going to say, give me this mountain. And the Lord says, son and daughter, my hand is upon you, and fear not, don't be afraid, but know that spirit to continue to move forward, that spirit of fruit bearing and faith is in your hearts. It's not going to disappear. The mantle is not going to lift, but it's going to increase. It's going to be broadened. It's going to be enlarged. And you're going to find yourself doing many things that you didn't even think you would be doing in the days to come. I see your feet coming and going. I see you going to nations. I see new doors opening before you. And the Lord says, there's going to be much to do, and there's going to be much to deposit in others. There's going to be much wisdom that you're going to share. And the Lord says, a message that I'm going to give you is going to stir within your spirit and stir within your hearts, and I will open wide doors to you. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Now, we're at a point where, you know, Travis and Camilla are going to take up the mantle and become primary leaders of this house, and together with the elders of ATC, and I believe that they're going to also transition into new things and new vistas, and you're going to see you're on the threshold of new things that are going to take place. In fact, I'll tell you right now, this place isn't large enough for what God is going to do. And I think, I just sow this in your heart, but you're going to have to begin to think about how you go to two services, and then you're going to have to think about how you go up and take new locations, new places. Amen. It's exciting. It's exciting. But every church needs grace for transition. You know, the transitions can be exciting, but they're very challenging times because things are in a state of flux. There is a transition. There is a there is change that comes. And just like, you know, you needed grace for your past, you need grace for your future. And transitions need to be executed with much grace and much prayerfulness. And some transitions don't always get managed properly. There's not a lot of grace in them, and sometimes they can even get botched. And I want to give you an example to start out with of a bad transition. Not that I feel this is going to be one, but I just want, you know, sometimes you need to see the negative and the positive. And in fact, the truth of the matter is you always have to see the negative and the positive. Electricity has negative and positive. And without two of them, you don't have any power. Hello? In 1 Kings chapter 12, verses 1 to 15, the scripture says, "And Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel had gone up to Shechem to make him king." So this was after Solomon. "And so it happened when Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, heard it," he was still in Egypt, for he had fled from the presence of King Solomon and had been dwelling in Egypt, "that they sent and called him. Then Jeroboam and the whole assembly of Israel came and spoke to Rehoboam, saying, 'Your father made our yoke heavy, and now therefore lighten the burdensome service of your father and his heavy yoke which he put on us, and we will serve you.' So he said to them, 'Depart for 3 days, then come back.' And the people departed. Then King Rehoboam consulted with the elders who stood before his father Solomon while he lived, and he said, 'How do you advise me to answer these people?' And they spoke to him, saying, 'If you will be a servant to these people today and serve them and answer them and speak good words to them, then they will be your servants forever.' But he rejected the advice which the elders had given him and consulted the young men who'd grown up with him and who stood before him. And he said to them, 'What advice do you give? And how should we answer this people who have spoken to me, lighten the yoke which your father put on us?' Then the young man who had grown up with him spoke to him, saying, 'Thus you should speak to this people who have spoken to you, saying, "Your father made our yoke heavy, but you will make it lighter on us." Thus you shall say to them, "My little finger shall be thicker than my father's waist. And now, whereas my father put a heavy yoke on you, I will add to your yoke. My father chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scourges." So Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam after the third day, as the king had directed, saying, "Come back to me the third day." Then the king answered the people roughly, and he rejected the advice which the elders had given him. And he spoke to them according to the advice of the young man, saying, my father made your yoke heavy, but I will add to your yoke. My father chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scourges. So the king did not listen to the people, for the turn of events was from the Lord, that he might fulfill the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Abijah the Shilonite to Jeroboam the son of Nebat. Now, I want to be very clear about this. I'm not reading this passage to you because I feel it's prophetic of what is happening here. I know both parties involved in this transition. I'm fully assured and can say unequivocally that none of them are Rehoboam leaders. Amen? But I'm just saying this because here's a situation where it illustrates a transition that got botched. It was a mess. And the Rehoboam had followed, you know, poor instincts, poor leadership instincts, and didn't listen to the elders, didn't listen to those who were leaders, didn't listen to those who had experience, didn't listen to those who had wisdom. And he just went along recklessly listening to his own generation instead of those who were over him in the Lord. So it illustrates the idea that transitions that lack grace can be disastrous. And so there has to be great grace on every transition. 1 Corinthians 9:8, I want to read from the Message Bible, and it says, God can pour on the grace in astonishing ways so that you're ready for anything and everything. I like that. I searched a number of passages to see how that would come. And I found that the Message is kind of tying in with what I want to say today. God can pour on the grace in astonishing ways so that you're ready for anything and everything. How many know that with grace we can be ready for anything? And so a church experiencing transition needs a fresh dose of grace for that transitional period. And I want to give you 10 areas where you need grace for transitions. Now, obviously, not every one of them is going to apply to everyone here, but I believe that there's a target audience here that someone needs to hear at least one of these 10. 10 areas that we need grace for transition. Number one, we need grace for change. You know, it's well known that people do not like change. That's a fact. But you know, the only constant is change. You know, the only thing that is always happening is change. We live in a world of change, and the world has always changed. And as we talked about, even in our lives, we're transitioning. And even if you look within those transitions, there are transitions. So there's always change going on in our lives, and it's the only constant. So we need to have grace for change. In a church, what we tend to do is settle into things. We settle into the ways we do things. We settle into the methods we use. We settle into the way things look, the way things feel, the way maybe the worship service goes or the preaching or the way children's ministry is done. But the truth of the matter is that in every transition, there's going to be some change. So we need grace for change, that instead of resisting change, God can give us grace so that we're ready for anything and everything. Somebody say amen. Number two, we need grace for flexibility. You know, I have an associate pastor. His name is Paul Maines, and he's a great man. He's a man of God. And one of the things I've noticed about Paul, because he came to me when he was 48 years old, so he was not he's not like a 20-year-old or a 25-year-old, but he was 48 years old. But one of the things I noticed was a great anointing of flexibility, that as he stepped in to work with us, there was great flexibility on him. And he was just, you know, he didn't bend and break. He was able to bend and kind of flow with the changes and flow with us, which isn't the easiest thing in the world to do, and flow with our style of leadership and just begin to be flexible and be able to kind of work and not break through the challenge. And so that's so important, to be able to bend without breaking. Flexibility. And so as you begin to enter transition as a church, and as Pastor Travis and Camilla, begin to lead, you know, you need flexibility. a flexibility to say, well, yeah, things are going to be a little different. There's going to be changes. Things are going to happen. Number three, grace for openness to new things. How many know that if there's nothing ever, if there's never a new idea, there's no progress? Now, somebody had an idea that you could put 1,100 books in something this size. It was an idea. It never existed before. And it's crazy when you think about it. I don't have 1,100 books, but I have about 3 or 4 years of sermons and maybe 100 books in here, so that wherever I go, I can pull out any message that I've preached in the last 4 or 5 years. And by the way, I've never preached this one before. This is fresh off the press. But somebody had an idea. Somebody had an idea. And, you know, without a new idea, there's no progress. And so churches need new ideas. And guess where new ideas come from? Come from God. And God gives new ideas to sometimes new leaders who step into something and they see something a different way. They have a different way of looking at things. I have a lot of young leaders around me, and at first, the first young leader that I really worked with was my oldest son, Nathan. And we had a rough time, because I found that I was resistant to his new ideas. But then I began to think about it, and I thought, I raised this kid. You know, they say the apple doesn't fall too far from the tree. And so I raised this kid. I poured into him. I formed him. I shaped him. And now, as a young man, he's giving me new ideas. Why would I resist that? And so I entered into a time what I call reverse mentoring. And I began to listen to him. Now, not all his ideas were good. Not all his ideas were, let's put it this way. Not all his ideas could be implemented at the stage we were at. But I began to see that a lot of the things that he had instincts about were actually helping our church to move forward. There was progress with new ideas. And so I began to implement a lot of his ideas. And it's actually helped our church. Now, he's no longer with us anymore, thank God. It's unfortunate. but I have a lot of other young leaders around me, and they're always pushing new ideas. And again, it's not because it's a new idea that it's a good idea. But I've also found out that it's not about who's right, it's about what's right. And so I can gather young leaders around me, and they can pull me this way and pull me that way. I pray about it, I get a sense. And if it's a good idea, I want to go for it, because that openness to new ideas causes progress. Hello. Number four, grace to release. This is a huge challenge. Grace to release things that individuals have been holding on to but need to release their grip to allow new leaders to speak into. There are many of you here today who have areas of responsibility in this house. And the challenge you're going to face is, as as new leaders take place, that they might want to speak, adjust, you know, pull you a little to the left, a little to the right, push you ahead a little bit, maybe cause you to take a step back. Whatever it is, they have the prerogative. Amen? Leaders have the prerogative to speak into every area of the church. As a lead pastor, I realize that I am ultimately responsible for everything that goes on in our church. And so sometimes people have to have grace to release things and say, well, I'm not going to hold on to this area so tightly. It's not mine. Everything we have is a stewardship. At 60 years old, I am now looking ahead in the next 5 to 6 years and thinking transition. And I'm realizing that the years, at the rate they're passing right now, are passing quickly, and I'm going to have to release everything that I'm doing to another generation in a very short time. So we can never hold on to things so tightly that we kind of feel like, and the other thing is, we can't find our identity in ministry. Let me just share this with you, because it's not in my notes, but I just feel by the Spirit to share this. I went through a period of time where I had entered full-time ministry And I worked with a church up in Ottawa. It's quite a large church today. It's called the Life Center. Maybe some of you have heard of it. Pastor Barry Boucher was the founder, and his son Jason now pastors it. And it's a great church, and it has continued to move forward all these years. But at the time I came in, they had 400 people, but they had no worship team. And so they brought me in to really cultivate a worship team and so on, which Jan and I did. And but after a couple of years there, the pressure that I was facing, not from them, but really self-imposed pressure, I just felt like I had to get out. And so I went back to Hamilton, to my home church where I was from, and for 5.5 years, I stepped out of ministry. Now, I stayed involved in local church. I stayed leading worship and preaching from time to time and ministering, but I stepped out of full-time ministry. And one of the things that the Lord dealt with in that period of time was something that really had to be deeply dealt with in my spirit. And I remember the Lord asking me one day, John, do you need to be a minister? Do you need ministry to feel good about yourself? And I realized the answer to that was yes. And the Lord said, we got to deal with that. Because your identity cannot be found in what you do. Your ministry, your identity has to be found in who you are in me. And so God really broke that yoke off of me over a period of time and helped me to see that whether I was in ministry, in fact, I had come to the point during that 5.5 years, about halfway, that I felt I would never be in ministry again. I just concluded that, you know what, I will never be in ministry again. I will stay committed, involved in my local church, and I will do everything I can to advance the cause of Christ, but I will never be in full-time ministry again, and that's okay. I don't need it. And it was so freeing. And when I got free from that yoke and released it, the Lord said, I'm calling you back to ministry. In fact, I never released you from the call, but I had to break the yoke. How many know that's a good thing? And so, really, you know, grace to release your grip in transition and be able to allow new leaders to kind of adjust, speak to things. Number five, grace to adapt. Grace to adapt to how new leaders lead. A new style, a new personality, a new approach. These are all things that change. It's just you can't help it. Everybody has a different way of doing things. And you may say, well, I'm so used to doing it this way. That's okay. But receive some grace today. Amen? Receive grace. There's no need for you to cash in your chips and pull out of the game and say, well, I'm out of here. You know, the things are changing. Of course they're changing. And of course there's going to be things that are different. But just receive grace today to adapt to a new personality. You know, many years ago, Jan talked about transitions, and we've been through a lot of transitions. But first, when we got saved, we came into a church in Hamilton. It was pastored by a missionary. He had been in the mission field for about 20 years in East Africa. It was a very powerful move of God that he was part of there. And he was the first full gospel charismatic pastor to ever set foot in the land of Uganda. And to this day, what he started, the Ugandans call the gospel of power, because God just poured out his spirit. They planted 350 churches in a period of 20 years. And it was just a massive move of God. So he was thrown out by the dictator Idi Amin. He had 24 hours to leave the country. Wound up in Hamilton. We came into his church when there was about 30 people. And again, it was kind of like a move of God that took place in the Jesus People movement. We came in straggling with all our holes in our jeans and one earring and long hair down to here and drug addicted and messed up. And they loved us. They pastored us. They ministered to us. But after 12 years, they wanted to go back to the mission field, and there was a transition that took place. And what happened was a guy who got saved around the same time as I did became my pastor. Well, you want to talk about a difficult transition? This was like Bob. Hey, Bob. What about Bob? And he's just Bob to me. In fact, we worked together. So I knew his strengths, but I also knew his weaknesses. And now he's my senior pastor, and I'm going, gosh, I don't know how to handle this. But I remember, I think about a year after he was pastoring, we had a New Year's Eve service, and he just felt led to get up and share about a number of things that had happened since the transition took place. After about 1 year of transition, he just shared, look what God did here, 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 look at, and it's just a whole pile of things. And as I was sitting there listening to him, it's like the Spirit of God, grace came on my heart and moved me to see him in the office of a pastor. And I never, ever had a problem after that relating to him as my pastor. You know, I just never had a problem that way. So I knew he was a pastor. I knew he was a man of God, and I related to him that way. It was a grace to adapt to him, to his style. Amen? Number six, grace for a new pace. You need grace for a new pace. Some leaders are plotters. Some leaders are sprinters. Some leaders are like missiles, you know. You hear an explosion, you see the cloud, and they're gone. Where did they go? You know, oh, there they are. Look, you know, like they're already half a mile in the air, and you're still back here, you know, trying to work your way through the cloud and the explosion. You know, some leaders are that way. They're just fast moving. They're explosive. They're powerful. They just launch off into new things without even much consultation or talking or anything. They're just those kind of leaders. Some leaders are like Tarzan leaders. You know, they swing, you know, and they come from tree to tree. You know, and it's like, wow. And then other leaders are more like RVs. You know, they're laid back and. There's no hurry. Take your time. It's just like you're on a journey. You're on a vacation. Hey, enjoy the journey. Take your time. We're in no hurry. And you just, you know, they just kind of move through life at ease. And, you know, so I don't know what the personality profile of your new leaders are, but, you know, there's all kinds of different leaders, and they have a different pace. And you need grace for the pace. Because some of you might be more like missiles yourself, and you're anxious. I got some people around me who want to make it happen 3 weeks ago. And I'm saying, whoa, slow down. We got to think about this. We got to process. We got to plan. We got to think about where we're going. And I have some young business leaders in my church who are very aggressive, and they're very successful. But they're kind of always waiting for me to make a decision. And I just don't make decisions that quickly because I'm looking at several levels of impact that happen every time a church makes a decision. Amen? And so you got to think through that, pray through that. And so I don't know where I'm at. I'm probably really just a plotter as a leader. You know? Yeah. Yeah. Maybe I was a plotter and now I'm an RV. But anyway, I'm at least, hey, listen, I got some forward movement. I'm baby stepping. I'm not a slacker. Some of you know that movie. Okay. Number seven, grace for a different emphasis. You know, sometimes I get asked to speak in different venues and different places. And one thing I find is you go to a conference or you go to a church and they say, we'd like you to speak about this. And one of the things I've found is that no matter what I'm assigned to speak on, if you cut me, I'm going to bleed a certain color. Do you know what I mean? Like, what's in me is going to bleed out of me. And it doesn't matter what topic, what is in my heart is going to come out. And the same thing is true with you. There's certain things that are really in you. It's your DNA. It's those foundational things that were poured into your spirit and poured into your heart when you first came to Christ. And you can't change that. And that's your emphasis. That's the thing that's going to bleed through no matter where you are. And so the things that motivate a leader are the things that are always going to be a priority to that leader. And every leader has a different message. And so has a different emphasis. And so Pastor Jacques and Pastor Sharon, I just know that they are capital P pastors. They love people. And they love to love on people. and they love to reach people, and they love to take in the broken and the hurting and bind them up and show them that there's dignity and show that they're of value, show, you know, put Christ in them and love on them and bring them to maturity. And but, you know, other people and other leaders have different gifts. They bring something new to the table, something different. It's not better. It's not worse. It's just different. And so you have to have grace for that different emphasis, because a new pastor will look differently and have a different emphasis. Does that make sense? Do you have grace for that today? Amen? Do you receive that? Number 8, grace to make room for new people. This is a huge challenge to churches, but the truth is, and this is just, it's not a commentary on former pastors. It's just a reality. New leaders attract new people. It's almost like a scientific rule. It just happens. Wherever I see new leaders step into a church, they attract new people. And it's just like a law of the kingdom. And so churches sometimes don't know how to make room for new people. And they lose their future by holding too stringently to their past. Making room for new people. What does that mean? That means that if you're on a worship team, you have to be able to see new people as potential taking your place, at least some of the times. Yeah, but I've been leading worship every Sunday for the last 5 years. I know. But guess what? There's some new people. Or I've been playing guitar, I've been playing bass, I've been teaching in Sunday school for, you know, 66 years. Well, you know, it's time to have some fresh blood. If you don't make room for people, why would they want to stick around? Hello? And so it's a transition. As a church, you have to be able to make room for new people and make room for them to come in and participate. Have a pipeline mentality. We have several worship leaders in our church. We have, I don't know, about a half a dozen or so. And they're all excellent worship leaders. We have several drummers. We have keyboard players, guitar players, all that kind of stuff. And people who lead and just, you know, they take turns. And we want, but we never stop creating the pipeline. There's new musicians being raised up all the time. There's new leaders being raised up. There's new people involved in small groups. There's new, you know, it's a pipeline thinking. It's the idea is that God, we just believe and assume that God's going to bring new people. And so we want to get them in a pipeline so we can develop them. Does that make sense? And so we need grace for that, to make room for new people and develop constantly new people. Number 9, grace for new structures. This can be one of the hardest, because I don't know if you know that the famous last words of every organization, famous last words of every organization, we never did it this way before. You know, oh, we never did it that way before. That's right, you didn't. And if you don't allow change and to move forward and new structures, then you will fold. You will gradually lose your ground as a church. You have to be able to. You can't build a 10-story building on a 2-story foundation. How many know what I'm talking about? I was in Africa. I can't remember. It was one of my trips to Africa, and I was ministering at a breakfast. A church was building a large community building beside their church. It was a very large church. I had to preach 3 times on Sunday morning, and they could seat about 1,500 to 2,000 in each service. So it was a large church. And so the pastor asked me, on Saturday morning, we're going to have all our business people there, and we're having a breakfast. Would you come and share with them? And I said, okay, I'll do that. So Lord gave me a word for them. But one of the things he explained to me when we went out and looked at the footings that they were putting in to build this building, I said, how many stories? And he goes, well, that's the amazing thing. We're putting such a foundation in this building that it will have a removable roof. And I said, I don't get it. What do you mean? He said, well, we're going to build for 2 stories, But then in about 3 years, we're going to go another two stories. And we're believing like every 2 or 3 years, we're going to add until we could build up to 10 stories. And so we're going to have daycare. We're going to have training for trades and people who need to learn trades. We're going to have ESL and classrooms for teaching. And we're going to have, you know, and medical. And we're going to be training people. And we're just going to, it's a removable roof. And I thought, you know, that's an amazing concept. That's how God has made you and me, that we have a removable roof. It's like you start somewhere, but then as time goes on, God, as you're faithful, God removes the roof, and he adds more to you, and he builds you up, and you keep kind of, and what really God wants to do is continue that we continue to grow and grow and grow and mature in Christ. And so there has to be this aspect in which our structures have to be able to take on more and more, because God wants to mature our churches. He wants to cause us to grow out into all kinds of different types of ministry expressions. As he brings more people in, some people will be motivated towards missions. Some people will be motivated towards evangelism. Some people will be motivated towards gifts and things in the spirit and the prophetic. Some people will be worship. Some people will be motivated towards children's ministry. Some people will be motivated towards church plants. I mean, there's just, you know, there's just all kinds of expressions of ministry that the Lord continually builds us out into as our church grows and matures. So we need structures that reflect that. You know, when David was king, they worshipped around a tent. When David was king, they had the tabernacle of David, which is basically a tent. And when they brought the ark back, David brought the ark back. He didn't put it in the tabernacle of Moses. He threw it in a tent. And so now he had 288 Levites, worshipers, who stood around the tabernacle, around the ark, and they worshipped for 2 hours. Then they would leave, and another 288 would come in for 2 hours. And then so they had 24-hour worship. There was 4,000 Levites who worshipped. That was their ministry. Imagine a worship band of 4,000. But they served in shifts all around the clock, 24 hours a day, 24/7, 365 days of the year. And out of that period came the book of Psalms. You know, all this prophetic activity was flowing, and the book of Psalms was being written, and people were receiving words and songs from the Holy Spirit. And we have the book of Psalms today as a result of that period. But there came a transition when God anointed Solomon. And David had been storing up, you know, gold and timber and all kinds of things to build a temple. But the Lord said, you're not going to do it, your son Solomon. So Solomon steps in. 12 years of transition from a tent to finally, after 12 years, they dedicate this glorious temple. Now, I can imagine some of the conversations that went on. And there's some people who just said, you know, Asaph, I just like David's tent. It was so simple, and we could just get really in cozy and see the Shekinah and, you know, see the glory of God. And we could just, you know, we just had our harps, and it was so simple and easy, and we just did that. And I don't know, I kind of long for those days. And Asaph would say, well, brother, that's really cool. I appreciate that. But God is doing something new. And he said, I want a temple. And, you know, brother, whoever that was saying, well, wait a minute, you know, like, do we really need all the sophisticated building and all these rooms and gates and courts and you know, it's too complicated. Well, there was a transition that some people maybe would have missed because they were too glued to the past. And so we need to understand that God is progressive and he's moving forward and he's building his church. Amen? Last one, number 10, grace to be stretched. I believe Pastor Jacques referred to this. You know, when the scripture talks about wineskins and putting new wine in an old skin, and Jesus warns about it, it's because the acidity of new wine, when you put it into an old skin, that the flexibility of that skin has gone, and the acidity of the new wine bursts the old skin. You need new skin, animal skins, to hold that acidity. And so Jesus asked the question, it's a rhetorical question, do you put new wine in an old skin? And the answer was no, you don't do that. Why? Because you're going to burst the skin and lose the wine. Well, the whole wineskin concept is the idea of being able to endure the stretch and the acidity of something new. With something new, there's going to come a new acidity. It's going to feel different. It's like, oh, that doesn't feel the same as it used to. No, it won't. It's going to feel different. But can you become a fresh wineskin? Can a new approach and fresh thinking, can you transition with it and stretch into it as a church? You can make the transition harder on yourself. And you can make the transition harder on the church if you don't receive grace for it. And I feel like the Lord gave me this word today because there is grace that God wants to release from heaven. And I know that, as I mentioned earlier, that not every word, these 10 points applies to every one of you. But I believe that there's something in each point that will apply. There's a target audience here for different ones. And as I touch on the 10, maybe when we hit number 6, something emoted in you. You know, do you know what I'm saying? You felt something like fear, trepidation, reservation, uh-oh, you know. Well, if you felt anything like that, this is for you today, because God wants to touch you with his grace so that all reservation, all fear of the unknown, all reservation is absolutely gone, and this becomes a successful transition. So you look around your city today, I know that, like most cities in Ontario, there's, and I'm sure this doesn't, what I'm going to say doesn't apply to every church, but there's an abundance of churches that there's just no denying the fact that right across Canada, many, many churches have fossilized. In other words, they're just unable to contain anything new or fresh that comes from the Spirit of God to bring harvest in 2016 and moving forward. They're just not going to participate in it. Not because they don't want to, not because they're bad people, but because they have fossilized. The definition of a fossil is a living organism that failed to make a transition. A fossil is a living organism that failed to make a transition. And so some churches, what happens is they've missed one transition, two transitions, three transitions, and now they've missed so many transitions that finally what happens is they kind of wake up one day and say, you know, we're losing everybody, and our churches are shrinking, and our finances are down, and we don't even know we can keep our building. And I heard of one denomination that has over 175 buildings for sale across Canada. And what happens is finally they say, we need to transition. And they know what they do. They transition over the wrong thing because the Spirit seeped out a long time ago. Yeah. And they transition, but over the wrong thing. And so you can see the fossil. You can see the shape of something that used to exist in its imprint, but there's no life in it. We don't want to fossilize. We don't want to become extinct. And things that fossilize fail at transitions, and they make a practice of not transitioning. You've embraced grace for what was in your past. Now you must embrace grace for what's in your future. And I believe that God is going to give you that today. And I want to end with this one thought again, that 1 Corinthians 9:8 from the Message, God can pour on the grace in astounding ways so that you're ready for anything and everything. Would you stand with me today as we close? And I'm going to hand it back to your pastor in a moment. And in fact, I think I'm going to call Pastor Jacques and Pastor Sharon as we have Pastor Travis and Kamala come forward in a minute. But I want you to place your hand on your heart and pray with me. Would you do that? I want to pray grace over your house today. The grace is already here. It didn't come with me. It's already all over you. But I believe the Holy Spirit wants to release fresh grace for you, for this transition, for this time, for this period. It's not just this Sunday. It's not today. But it's next month, 6 months from now, a year from now. As changes and things come into the house that look different, feel different, whatever, remember this word that God brought me here to speak to you today. There's grace for every transition. Lay hold of the grace. Say, Lord, give me grace for this. So, Father, we come to you today in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are the head over all things to your church. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you've birthed this house. We thank you today that we've celebrated and honored in a fitting way the father and mother of this house that you sent here by your hand, that you anointed, that you called, and that you caused them to be a fruitful vine in this city and in this region. But now, Lord, there's a transition taking place. And Father, you want everyone in this house to participate in it. You want them to be part of it. You want them to flow with it. You want them to move forward in it. You want them to reap the blessings of it. You want them actually to be part of a transitionary group that see this church transition from one stage to another. It's not from what was not so good to what is better. It was awesome. It was great. It was wonderful. It was everything it should have been. But it's just another stage of development. Just like that child we talked about that goes from an infant. There's nothing wrong with infancy, but we can't stay there. There's nothing wrong with a toddler age, but we can't stay there. There's nothing wrong with the childhood stage, the school child, but they have to go to adolescence, and God forbid that we stay there. But Lord, we continue to grow. We continue to move forward. And that's your plan. It's your purpose. We have a removable roof today. So as we have our hands on our hearts, we're asking you, Lord, to release grace over every person who makes At the Crossroads their church home. Every life that you have planted here. We bless them today. And we ask you, Lord, to release from heaven today that grace, that empowering presence of Jesus Christ in the midst of the church that helps us go forward together. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. God bless you. I'm going to ask Ma and Pa to come forward here. Amen. And we're going to be praying for your new pastors.
Could you all raise your hand? Yes, Lord. Father, it's an impartation of grace, Lord, that's coming upon Camilla and Travis, Lord. Your grace is sufficient, Lord. And Father, this day, Father, this hour, this time, Lord, we dedicate it, Father, to new leadership, Lord. Father, we dedicate it, Father, to them. And Father, we stand with them, Lord, and we just release everything, Father, this day. And Lord, we know that you are going to do amazing things, Father. We can sense the move of the Spirit, Lord. We can feel the breeze, Father. We want to thank you, Lord, that for the people that are here, Father, that's going to stand with them, Lord. That, Father, there will be a freshness of your Spirit, Lord, like never before. So we just pray, Father, for the anointing. Lord, a double portion, Father, will be needed for this, Lord. So we pray and release them to this day, Lord, to take leadership over this place, Lord, and to take this church at a new level, Father. We want to thank you, Lord, that this involved everyone. everyone in this room, Lord, shoulder to shoulder, heart to heart, going into one direction. So we praise you. We thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. And all the saints said, amen and amen.
I'm gonna ask the elders to come and kind of take their place beside them. I just feel that that needs to be something we do. And this is the new team that is gonna lead this house, and we're thankful for what God is doing. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. For the Lord says, son and daughter, this is a moment in time that I have ordained. This is a moment in time that I'm stretching out my heart towards your heart. And I'm falling upon you with a new mantle. And the Lord says you're going to sense a new grace. You're going to sense my empowering presence in the midst of your hearts. The Lord says everything that I have brought you through, and the struggles, the challenges, the times of disappointments, the times that it seemed like there was reversal. But now the Lord says, I brought you through all those things that you might come to this time and you might be people who have been seasoned. That you know there's been a bruising, but there's also been a binding up. That your hearts are ready to stand as those who would carry and shepherd the flock of God. For these are the ones, says the Lord, that I have given my life for, that my blood was shed for these lambs. And the Lord says, even this day I place you as a head and not a tail, to provide leadership, to provide care, to provide ministry, that I am infusing fresh into your hearts and into your lives. And the Lord says, even as a team, you will work and walk together. And the Lord says, there's going to be an influx. There's going to be a new flow of people to this house. I'm going to bring them. I'm going to bring young families. The Lord says, this house will overflow with the young of the flock. And the Lord says, I'm going to give you wisdom to build a children's ministry in this region that is going to be creative, anointed, powerful, where you will disciple young lives. The Lord says, I've ordained it. It's going to be fresh. It's going to be new. It's going to be me working through you. So the Lord says, whatever your cares, whatever your burdens are today, release them, let them go. This is a new day. This is a new hour. This is a new anointing. This is a fresh move of my spirit upon this house. And the Lord says, I've chosen you, I've anointed you, I've called you, and I will be with you.
Listen, Kamala, God has been working on you to be able to carry the load, and something has happened this year, and all of a sudden, you're comfortable with the load. All of a sudden, you weren't ready before now, but you're ready now. And you're ready to take it on. It's like, bring it on, baby. That's almost like what I just feel, that you're just ready. You're just ready to love the people. You're ready. You're comfortable. God has just caused you to be comfortable in your own skin, and you're just ready to pour that love on this people. And so, Lord, I just thank you. I just thank you for your grace. Thank you for grace for change. Thank you for the ministry of the word today. Lord, I know this people are going to be a people of grace for change. I thank you for the excitement that's coming into this house. I thank you that the people that are here in this congregation are just going to be so thankful they're here, because they're just going to see what you're about to do and you're doing, and they're just going to say, oh, I just can't wait to get to church just to see what is going on, what God is up to, and who he's bringing For it's the Lord that adds to the church daily those that are being saved. It's exciting. Hallelujah. And for this couple, get ready, because this is only the beginning. You thought you were done, but I'm sorry, that is just not the truth. This is just a fresh beginning of ministry to people that God is bringing into your lives. And you're going to see it, and you're just going to be so thrilled. And Sharon, there is a lightness coming to you that is like, you're just going to be woohoo. You're going to say, oh, this is amazing. I'm just loving this. I'm loving life. And there's life in that. You're just going to be so thrilled and full of youth and vigor.
You know, just as Jan was praying for you, I just feel the Spirit just giving you a fresh anointing for healing. And I just see you preaching and ministering and people getting healed all over the place. It's like, it's like at your age, brother, you're becoming a healing evangelist. Amen. Hallelujah. To the nations, the Spirit of God, the anointing, the grace for a new day and a new hour in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Well, thank you very much, John and Jan. Thank you so much. Let's give them a hand for coming and spending this service with us. And thank you, Impact Church. Thank you for coming and spending this moment with us. And again, thank you, Mom and Dad, for everything you've done here, and we'll continue to do if you come back. But we bless you. And so take some time. We have some food and fellowship, and I think the kids are probably edging to come back down. So we'll have them probably come down the front there.
I just want to say there's so many we could thank, and I also want to thank you, Mom and Dad, for allowing us to stand here today with you guys. It's an honor, and it's nothing we take lightly to stand, and we will need your prayers and your guidance and your support and your mentoring always. And we thank the team here. We're so grateful and excited to work with you guys. There's so many we'd like to thank. I'd like to thank Cameron and Sandra. We love you guys. You're our precious friends, and you have been so empowering to me personally. I just want to thank you for believing in women in ministry and for calling us out, patiently drawing us out, and I'm hoping that we will do the same, because we love women and men. But I just want to thank you for that. And John and Jan, thank you for coming today and doing this for us and being mentoring and apostles and fathers to us. And thank you, church, for flowing with the new thing and having grace with us when we make our mistakes and our successes. But we're excited on this journey with you guys. Thank you, Lord.
Just want to thank everybody. You guys are awesome, right? You'll be in our heart forever, wherever we go. And John, thank you for your message. That was good. Did you ever think about going into ministry? Good. Well, let's pray over the food. Father, we want to thank you for the refreshment that you have here today. Lord, as we do refreshment, Lord, I thank you, Father, that you bless everything, Lord. Everything in this place is blessed. The food, the people, Lord. We are a blessed nation, Father. We want to give you thanks, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.